This morning, I want to lay out that things are going to be a little bit different. And you might have already noticed that with having a couple of the tables at the front. But we're going to do things a little bit different. And it comes out of a bit of this tiredness, to be honest. As I was studying 2 weeks ago, I actually had this on my heart to lean into something different. And I'm going to walk you through each step of the way. It's a safe space. I just believe that God wants to meet us here today, and he wants to do something, and he wants to speak to each and every one of us. We're continuing our series, Discovering the Way, and we're going to be talking about prayer and the narrow path. And this is what I mean where I want it to be a little different, because I don't want to just talk about it today. I want to actually practice it. I want us to experience it. So this is how Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Let's all actually read this together. We'll start with our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we're going to create some space today to explore what it means to connect with God through prayer. So while we're still going to have worship music and similar service elements, I also want to just share a few short thoughts and then create space and give you the opportunity to practice it and experience it for yourself. So to keep it simple, we're going to be learning about Acts. And the reason I'm going through this now is because I want the kids here for our first exercise. But this isn't the book of Acts. We're actually going to be learning a model of praying, which you pray with adoration. You tell God just how good he is. Then you have confession, which is you're saying sorry, like, God, here's where I've struggled or messed up, or here's where I've sinned. And then you give thanksgiving. You just say, God, thank you, though, for your forgiveness, for your grace. And then it ends with supplication, which is a big fancy word that just means asking God for help, either for ourselves or interceding, praying on behalf of others. So let's begin by quieting our hearts, focusing our minds, and then we're going to lift up our voices in praise and adoration. But if you'll pray with me, Heavenly Father, God, you are holy and good, faithful, kind, and full of mercy. You are our Father in heaven, and yet you're here with us now. We worship you for who you are. We admit that we often try to go our own way. We carry things we weren't meant to carry. We fall short in ways that we know and in ways that we're not even aware of. But we come today trusting in your grace and forgiveness. So thank you for this new morning. Thank you for every person in this room. Thank you that we can gather freely, hear your word, and lift our voices in praise. And thank you most of all for Jesus, who brings us back to you. And now, Lord, we just ask for your help. Would you open our hearts today? Would you speak to us and meet us in the quiet moments? And would you guide us as we learn to pray and follow you more closely? We give this time to you now, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, I love those songs. And I don't know about you, but I sometimes find songs to be a prayer in and of themselves. Like your heart just connects and resonates with either the melody or some of the words. So prayer isn't about just saying the perfect words. It's simply talking to God from your heart, just like any relationship, like a brother or sister, mom or dad. Like when you have a close, good relationship, you talk to one another. And that's what prayer is. It's talking to our Heavenly Father. So while acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, while that's kind of like a way to help us remember how to pray, that's merely just something to assist us. We don't have to get that right. And what we actually just sang was kind of following that model. The first song, Goodness of God, was adoration. We're adoring God for who he is and his goodness that we see all around us. And then we just sang a song of confession, saying, God, I need you. Like, I come, I confess, I can't do this on my own. And that in itself is a prayer. And these songs, when they're sung from the heart, can just, sometimes I feel like they communicate in a deeper way than sometimes our words can even express, if you know what I mean. Like, have you ever turned on the radio or a worship song and just the music captivated you? There was something that drew you to it. I know at Christmas time, we even talked about the song Silent Night, which brought together two sides of World War II over this melody, because there was something that crossed language barriers. And I believe that sometimes songs express feelings and ideas and emotions that we didn't even know we had. We didn't even realize we were feeling. Sometimes the sounds can speak for us. And that's why I also love gathering together as the church, because sometimes it's also just being able to worship together and watch others and hear others singing from their heart that reminds me that, yes, I need this. I need to lean into this. And what's even better is that scripture tells us this. In Romans, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So those times when you're just like, I don't even know what to say or pray for or ask, the Holy Spirit's already at work, and he's communicating to your Heavenly Father on behalf of you. He knows your thoughts and emotions more thoroughly than you do. So when those moments of joy, gratitude, confusion, disappointment, or grief leave you at a loss for words, know that the Holy Spirit is speaking. So talk to God. So we're going to take a moment to shift from adoration and confession, and we're going to take a few minutes to say thank you and to ask for help. And we're going to trust that he listens and he cares. So what we're going to do is take our first step in putting this into practice. So here at the front of the room, you see two tables. And on my right, we're going to call this the Thanksgiving table. And there's some post-its and some pens on top. And what I'd like for you to do is simply come forward and write something you're thankful for. It could be a sentence, it could be a picture, it could be one word, and then just stick it on the wall. We'll make that the thankfulness wall. We did that at our kids' camp last summer with God sightings, and we put fish all over the walls where we saw God at work. And you can do this by yourself. Kids, I wanted you to be in here too, because moms and dads, you can help them. You can do it as a family. But I want us to come together as a church family and give thanks. And then this station, we'll call it the help station. And what the help station is, again, there's post-its and pens, but then there's a bucket on the table, is because these are requests where you're just asking God for help. It might be for yourself, it might be for someone else, it might be for the world, whatever it is, just write it on a post-it, fold it up, and put it in the bucket, and you're simply, it's an act of surrender. You're saying, God, I'm trusting you with this. You work. And again, if you just need to sit where you are and just take time and pray quietly, that's fine too. I just want you to know this is an invitation to come forward. So I'll give you a few minutes and then I'll guide us back when it's time. But let's take this moment to respond to God. Man, I love trying new things. And if that's not for you, thanks for bearing with me. But I just love sometimes getting to take what we're learning and exploring and the head knowledge and just taking a moment to let it sift down to our hearts and transform us and experience it. And that's why Christ put church planting on my heart, to be honest. It wasn't something that I ever sought out to do, that I planned on doing, as most of you know, but it was the opportunity that presented itself, and I just had such a heart to reach this new growing community. And I'm like, there is such a need for people to know Jesus. And as I was driving here this morning, that's what I was praying. I'm like, God, use us to reach this community for your glory. Transform this place. Turn it upside down. So I wanted to take this moment today to take time to pause, to reflect, and to focus on prayer and the narrow path as we discover the way toward a meaningful life, as we discover the way to following Jesus. So before we dig into Jesus' teachings on sex, money, worry, forgiveness, judging, and all the more, it's important to realize that Jesus is not trying to discourage us with all of his commands. As he's teaching us, as he's telling us what we should do, he's not trying to make us feel like, oh man, I'm never gonna get to do this because of how difficult it is. That's not at all what he's saying. I believe that Jesus has this short section on prayer, known as the Lord's Prayer, tucked away in his Sermon on the Mount to show us that you don't need to try harder. You don't need to muster more willpower. You don't have to live the perfect life. That's not what following Jesus is about. And what I mean by this is to live like Jesus requires us to pray like Jesus. Because Jesus knew that that connection with the Heavenly Father is what empowered him to live his life faithful to the Father. And that's what empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live a life able to follow Jesus. So in other words, following Jesus isn't just a matter of skill and grit and white knuckling. It's only made possible through a life of being with God in prayer. So if to live like him requires us to pray like him, we have to look at how did Jesus pray. And as we read in Matthew, it was simple. It wasn't filled with fancy language. It wasn't a performance. And as we saw last week, earlier in the chapter, right before he teaches this prayer, he says in verse 7 and 8, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." And that's an interesting thing, because the other week, Amanda told me that one of the kids asked, "Why do we have to confess to God if he already knows?" And she's like, "That's a good point. But the reason why is because it shapes our heart to the heart of Christ. He already knows, but he's wanting us to confess. He's wanting us to communicate with him because it shapes us to be more like him. So prayer doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be deep. It just has to be honest. And it's okay to be honest. God is big enough to handle your honesty. Sometimes one sentence is enough. Sometimes even a sigh is enough. Just, and sometimes you don't even need words at all. The beauty of prayer is that it's less about the right words and it's more about the posture of your heart. So just like in any good relationship, it's about communication. So I want to try some really simple ways of praying together. There's a type of prayer that you may have heard about called a breath prayer. And it's simply a short phrase that you repeat while breathing slowly in and out. So for example, you might inhale and you're like, "God, you are here." And then as you exhale, you're like, "And I am with you." And it's just such a short, simple prayer, but it's one that you can do while you're driving, while you're walking, while you're working. You don't even have to say it out loud. It could even just be in your mind as you're breathing in and breathing out. And you can just repeat that as many times as you need. Or, "Jesus, I trust you." Breathe in, "Jesus." Exhale, "I trust you." And I just love the simplicity of this. I don't know if I first came across it during the pandemic through some online workshops I was a part of, but I remember going through this exercise and it just stuck with me. It hit something different because sometimes I just feel like a fire hose to God and I'm just babbling on like we're told not to do. And other times I don't have words to say, but this is just a way to ground myself in God's presence. And then in addition to that, I think Chris taught us this last Good Friday, actually, that some different postures of prayer, like holding our hands up or opening our palms. And this is another way that we can pray with our bodies. And what I mean is that you can simply use your hands. So for example, you have your palms open and you're just like, "God, I receive what you have for me." And then you can turn it the other way. "God, I release what I've been carrying." And it's just a simple way to connect with your body too, with what's happening, or just sometimes like we can feel the stress we're carrying and our shoulders are tight and we're, and it's just like letting it go. Just God, I receive what you have for me. God, I'm releasing what I've been carrying. So I'm going to guide us through a few of these. And then I want us to just take some time to sit quietly, to pray like this on your own. And like I said, we don't have to go anywhere for it. But just let this be a moment where you don't have to try harder. Just simply receive what God has for you. So let me lead you through a few of them. You just say, God, you are here, and I am with you. Jesus, I trust you. You are my shepherd, and I have all that I need. God, I receive what you have for me, and I release what I've been carrying. God, I release my worry, and I receive your peace. God, I release my bitterness, my anger, resentment, my fears and my doubts. And I receive your grace. If you even want, you can put a hand on your heart. God, transform my heart as I surrender to you. Let's just take some time. You can pray your own words or you can pray what's on the screen. These quiet prayers, these whispers and moments of surrender, they matter deeply. They matter deeply to God and to us, to what God wants to do in and through us. And I find that these simple prayers remind me that he's present, that I can talk to him whenever and wherever I am, that he's listening and that he's not finished yet. I find it intriguing that the only recorded request of the disciples is connected to prayer. They never say, Jesus, teach us to preach. Jesus, teach us to cast out demons. Or shockingly, they didn't even say, Jesus, teach us how to turn water into wine. Like there's a masterclass that I might sign up for. Or teach me how to multiply bread. Instead, they observe. They've been watching and listening and seeing that the source of Jesus' life, his power, is coming from his deep communion and his relationship with God. And they want that. They see it. They see something different, and they want it. And in Luke 11, verse 1, it says, one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And it's so easy to read that and just gloss over it, like, teach us to pray. He's their teacher. But we have to remember that as a young Jewish boy, they would have grown up praying. They would have been taught the scriptures. In fact, the average Jewish boy had the entire books of the Old Testament memorized, meaning that over the course of their lives, they would have prayed many, many prayers. They would have had the right words to say, the right cadence, the tempo and rhythm. They would have been able to impress people. But as they observed the life of Jesus, they realized that something in their prayer life was missing. They have the words, but they don't have the fire. They have the scriptures memorized, but they don't have them internalized. And they know about God, but Jesus seems to truly know God, the God of their ancestors. And they realize that Jesus' joy, peace, power, and love comes out of his prayer habits, comes out of this deep relationship. So they ask him to teach them. Teach us how to pray. So Jesus hears their request and he teaches them. And why does he do that? Well, of course, we know Jesus was a teacher, the great teacher, a rabbi, but also because Jesus wants to help them and us to discover the way to a meaningful life, the life that he designed for us, life and life to the full, a life that's filled with meaning and purpose, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So there's one more thing, though, with prayer that we need to remember. Prayer isn't just personal, it's communal. We follow Jesus together. And I know that our current culture and where things have gone, we've individualized our relationship with Jesus and we've made it a me and Jesus movement. And yes, there's a personal component. We have a personal relationship with Christ, but we're also part of his body. We are the church. And in Matthew 18, 20, it says, "For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them." One of the gifts of following Jesus is that we don't walk this narrow path alone. He never intended for our faith to be lived out in isolation. And that's why he gives us the church, a spiritual family, to pick one another up, to love one another, to pray for one another. And while prayer is something that we ought to be doing on our own regularly and silently in our rooms, it's also something we share with one another. When we pray with others, there's something sacred that happens. Our faith grows, our burdens feel lighter, and we're reminded that God is with us and among us. And you see, praying for someone is meaningful and it moves the heart of God, but praying with someone suddenly adds power. It builds faith and it strengthens relationships. So today, I want to give us a chance to take a simple, courageous step by praying together. Now, you don't have to pray out loud if you don't want to. If you're not comfortable, just being present with someone in prayer is even a powerful thing. But in a moment, I'm going to invite you to simply turn to two or three people around you. If you're on your own, if you want to join with someone, others, if you see someone on their own, invite them in. But you also can stay on your own if this is way too big of a step for you. But I think there's something powerful in just simply being together. And maybe your only prayer that you contribute to your group is a head nod or an amen. That's okay. I encourage you to take this next step of faith and try something different and watch what God does. Watch the relationships that he builds. And let's just seek the power of God as the church. I don't know about you, but I needed that. That was refreshing. That was encouraging. And I'm just thankful for a church that prays. I know we have an awesome prayer team that lifts up your requests each week in prayer and checks in and cares for you. And feel free to fill out a connecting card. But we offer these gifts back as an act of worship, of trust, and every prayer written on these cards, spoken aloud or held quietly in your heart, the Lord hears them. He knows. But he's asking you and inviting you to trust him and bring them to him. He wants to do a work in your heart. So God, I thank you for this time that we've had to simply be with you. God, I pray that some of these ways of praying will stick with us, that we'll remember to recall them throughout the week ahead, whether it's through the acronym ACTS, where we're just simply adoring you and confessing and giving thanks and asking for help, whether it's through breath prayers or hand postures, or God, whether it's through calling up a friend or reaching out to the prayer team and asking for someone to pray with you. God, help us take that step of faith. God, I thank you for every gift that's given today, whether through finances, prayer, or a step of faith. We offer these gifts back to you as an act of worship and trust. And for every prayer that's written on these cards, or whether it's just too raw to put ink to paper just yet. Lord, hear them. Draw near to every need, every burden, and every cry. Use these gifts and these prayers to build your kingdom. Bless this community and remind us that we are never alone in Benbrook as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.